Now is the time when we transition from coming to church to being in church and being a part of the church. Created by one, blessed and sustained by one Spirit, we are all welcome here. And now let's listen to Lilacs in the Moonlight. And now would you please stand for the call to worship. Coming from different places, we gather as one church, one community of faith. Bringing different gifts, we come to offer ourselves as we are. Blessed by one Spirit, we bring our unity of gratitude and praise. Please join in the opening prayer. Holy Spirit, blow through our gathering as you blew through that Pentecost gathering so many centuries ago. Breathe in us your new creation that we may be renewed and revived to be your people once more. Speak through our differences and our diversity and bind us together in unity and love. Our opening hymn will be hymn number 393, Spirit of the Living God, and we will sing it through twice.
Friends, you may be seated, and would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, send your Spirit upon us. Send your Spirit upon us and fill our hearts that they might be full of love and grace and joy. God, show us your ways. Show us your ways that we may walk them, that we might not look to our own shortcomings, our own frustrations, our own wisdom, but that we might look to you, God. Lord, we give you thanks for our graduates. Our hearts are filled with joy that they're stepping off into the next phase of their life. God, we give thanks for our community and our people, that even though at times it might not feel like it, we are still free. And God, we give thanks for the ordering of all things, the turning of this planet, the rotation around the sun, birthdays and anniversaries, big moments, time continuing, and your hand and your presence being with us still. God, bless us this day that we might be filled. Lord, hear our prayers that you might be with us. And Lord, in all things, may we be your people. May your light shine forth through us. May our hands work alongside yours in the work. And Lord, may your kingdom, may your community shine forth just a little bit brighter every day. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so, friends, with the confidence of those who have been redeemed, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. If there's any kids, young or old, who'd like to come up for kids' time, now's that time. Treat. You get to figure out, or I get to figure out, what we're going to talk about today. You ready for that?
Yeah.
What's the hardest thing you've ever done? Think about it. Take a moment. What's the hardest thing you've ever done? I'm a young dad, so I love silence. So we could sit up here all day. Amen? What's the hardest thing you've ever done? Adults, help us out, or bigger kids. What's the hardest thing you've ever done? Sometimes it's just saying you're sorry. What else? What else? Admitting you're wrong, right? What else? Well, don't be shy. Come on, set a good example. Saying goodbye. Yeah. Saying goodbye.
Bearing loved ones.
Say it again.
Bearing loved
Burying loved ones, right? You know, sometimes there's a lot of hard things that you have to do in life, isn't there? Sometimes it's some of these big things that the adults have said. Other times it's something a little bit less big, like trying to figure out what to cook for dinner. Or maybe trying to figure out how to kick the soccer ball into the goal. Or trying to figure out what sort of colors to choose on your drawing, right? So what do you do? What do you do when there's something big and hard and maybe even a little bit scary in front of you? What do you do? Well, first, you trust that God is good and God's with you. Even if the next step isn't really all that easy, or you don't quite know what it is, at least, at the very minimum, at the very base level, we can trust that God is with us. And that things aren't nearly as scary then as they might have been. And then what's the next thing that you do? Adults, do you know? You just take the next best step you can find. Right? Bigger kids in the pews, do you know everything there is to know about everything? See? They're just like us, aren't they? And sometimes, even the kids in the pews have to figure out what that next best step is. But all you have to do is trust that God is there and that God loves you and that you're not alone and that this community is there and we support you, and if you need help, you can come talk to us. But all you have to do is try the next best thing you can. Amen? All right, friends, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that you love us, that you're with us, and that all we have to do is our best. God, help us know what to do when we don't know. Amen. All right. Thanks, kids.
As we come into this time of Pentecost today, we are reminded that all of us have a different level of gifts that we bring to this one experience that we call church. The reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation, to the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This ends the reading. And now we'll enjoy Duet for Two Cellos, number 1.
Thank you.
Friends, at this time we have our moment of offering, a moment where we remember that God is good and will continue to be good for as long as God is God, which is forever. So friends, we invite you to reflect upon the ways that God has blessed you throughout your lives, blessed your families, your friends, your community. And as you are so moved, if you'd like to partner with us in ministry, if you'd like to share some of those blessings, we'll be passing the plates along if you have loose change. If you give through EFT, thank you. There's little yellow, I don't know, what do you call them? Dave's got one in his hand, right? There's little yellow things to say yes as an affirmative response to what God has done. But friends, in all things, thank you for the ways that you continue to help our church fulfill what God has called us to do, which is to make disciples, to transform the world, to help bring love and light and grace in the midst of sometimes a confusing place. So thank you, friends. And at this time, I invite you to reflect on the ways that God has been good. So Almighty God, bless these gifts that we have offered. Lord, bless the things that you have given us as we give them back to you for the good of our community. God, may they be used to bring light and grace. May we be continually reminded what we are called to. Lord, may we be a force and a people for love in this world. Lord, bless us so that we might be a blessing. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, continue standing as you're comfortable and join us in our next hymn, Give Me Jesus, which can be found in your thin green back hymnals on 3140 or up on the screens. Help a brother out. How many verses are there? How many verses are there? Let's do four verses. Thank you. Friends, you may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. This is the gospel according to John. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let anyone who believes in me drink. As the scriptures have said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The good news of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, I was up in Minnesota. I had continuing ed, and I figured that perhaps I should come back and share what I had learned. Is that fine with everybody? Please nod your heads yes. I don't have anything else prepared. But friends, it was the Festival of Homiletics, which, put briefly, is a time where preachers get together to learn how to preach a little bit better, hopefully, by the grace of God. So there's no scorecards in the back, but if you'd like to mark down how I performed today, that would be great. Amen? Amen. No, up in Minnesota, it was interesting. It wasn't so much about how to preach as it was about some of the issues that we're grappling with in a world today. It was much more about where the Spirit is moving and some of those hard, difficult things that perhaps we'd like to speak on, but don't quite know how to speak on them. What's interesting about our reading from Corinthians today is it's the reading that precedes one that you probably all know fairly well, actually. Chapter 12 in Corinthians comes before chapter 13. That's not a surprise, that's not a shock. But in chapter 13, you find Paul saying something along the lines of, if I have all of these gifts that we've just named, wisdom, knowledge, tongues, interpretation, all of it, but I don't have love, I'm nothing more than a noisy gong or clashing cymbal. If I have faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, it's all for what? Nothing. It's all for nothing. And then Paul goes in to say something along the lines of that famous line you hear, typically it's at weddings, right? Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, so on and so on and so on. But at the end of that passage, what fascinates me is Paul goes on to say, and at the end of all things, these three things remain. These three things: faith, hope, and love. And out of these three things, love is the greatest. See, friends, over the years, I've turned to those things as a sign that the kingdom of God is being built, that the community of Christ is being made visible day by day by day. Is faith increasing? Is trust not only in God, but one another increasing? Well, then thanks be to God. The kingdom is still here. Is there hope in the midst of the gloom and the dreariness and the uncertainty? Well, if so, then thanks be to God. The kingdom is still here. Is love abounding? Is it between not only us, but each other? If so, then thanks be to God. The kingdom is still here. But it was that second one that we talked about in Minnesota. It was that second one, hope. How do you hope in a world that, I mean, you don't need me to say it. Some of you watch the news. It says it every night. How do you hope in a world that sometimes it's hard to find hope in? How do you preach that? How do you proclaim that? Not even just as pastors, but as Christians, as people. How do you find a way to say, don't worry, there is grace enough? It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that this was the topic, that this is what we wrestled on. See, I don't know if you all know this, but I'm in the generation called millennials. This is where you gasp. I'm not all that old, although I'm getting older every day by the grace of God. Hopefully I'm getting a little bit wiser too. But I'm in a generation that looks at the world, and sometimes we've got to steel our hearts and just have enough courage to show up and step out. Because oftentimes, at least from our perspective, sometimes we look at a world where hate and division are increasing. We look at a world where fear-mongering is the tactic of the day. And if you want to get really, really on edge, you look at a world where I don't quite know what kind of environment I'm going to leave for my kids. Friends, those are huge existential threats. Those are huge rocks to try and figure out how to deal with. I asked the kids, and then I asked you, what's the hardest thing you've ever dealt with? What's the hardest thing you've ever dealt with? And you didn't pull any punches. Saying I'm sorry, admitting I'm wrong, saying goodbye, burying a loved one. How do you find hope in the midst of a place that it's not easy to find hope? At the conference, there was a couple lines that stuck out to me that I've committed to memory. You know, the really great thing about the church is that our faith, what we've learned, this love, it's like a torch. It's like a flame that we hold very tightly, that we pass on from one generation to the next, that we help those who will come after us find and rekindle and set ablaze so that their paths might be lit and that they might pass that on to the next generation. There was a comment made, though, and you know, I got to tell you, friends, I'm ordained in the United Methodist Church. I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. Sometimes in the church, hope looks a lot like nostalgia. How does that sit with you? Sometimes in the church, hope looks a lot like nostalgia. What's your favorite movie, all-time favorite movie? Go ahead, shout it out. Come on. What was that? Sound of Music. That's a good one. What else? Singing in the Rain. There you go. What else? A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball, right? What else? Les Miserables. My favorite movie, and it's really a trilogy, is The Lord of the Rings. I'm a nerd, I know, I get it. Did you know how old those movies are now? 20-ish years old. That's not fair. They came out yesterday. But sometimes hope looks like nostalgia, and yet that's not where Christ is calling us. That's not where the Spirit of God moves. We're going forward to the kingdom, to the community of Christ and fullness. There was another, I don't know, not a line, not a comment, not a quote. There was another talk about this idea about how we're dealing with these stressful times as well. And it resonated with me, partly because I'm probably in a generation where we've got to just figure this out. We've got to grit our teeth and move forward and figure out how to solve some of these large issues that society is facing. But it went along the lines like this. Community is important, and not only that, there are some things that we might not be able to solve. And yet, It is intrinsically worthwhile to try. It is enough that we just do the right thing regardless of the outcome. Now I got to tell you, friends, that's a little bit of, keeping a stiff upper lip. You just try it regardless. It's the courageous thing to do. It reminds me a little bit of Stoicism, but nevertheless, there's this thought in society today that, hey, who knows? We might make it, we might not. That's not important. What's important is we do the right thing. Which I got to tell you is admirable, but it leaves me wanting a little bit. I wonder, there's a hymn, actually. There's a hymn. Liz, I asked you to play it. I'm just going to read it, if that's okay. Unless you want to play it. It's a good tune, but we're good. If you take your blueback hymnal and you turn to 534, you're going to find one of my all-time favorites. You're going to find a hymn set to the tune of Finlandia, and the hymn title is going to be called Be Still, My Soul. I just want to read the first verse of this, because I think it's incredible. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, God faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. It's that middle section there. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, God faithful will remain. Now, if you're a church nerd like me, you know that sounds a little bit more Calvinist than I'm comfortable admitting. That God is ordering every single thing and that we don't have any say in the matter at all. Amen? Don't say amen to that, friends. We're Methodists. We're Arminian. And yet, there's something here. There's something important here, I think, to remember and to recognize and to maybe weave in with where God is calling us. See, there's two extremes. There's the extreme where, we'll call it fatalism. Everything's too big. I don't know what to do. We'll just give up. And then there's the other extreme is, well, everything's too big and I don't know what to do, so I don't know. Let's just have a good time while we're here. Hallelujah? Yeah, I know. It's that middle path, though. It's where we remember not only is God here with us in the now, in the midst of all of it. It's not only remembering that at the end of all things, God has the final say, and I think I'm getting the quote right. The arc of justice is long, but it bends. Good. The end of all things, perhaps all will be well. Which isn't to say that all is well all the time, or all is well now, or all will be well tomorrow, but at the end of all things, all will be well. And in the midst of now, perhaps we have God, and perhaps we have each other. See, the other thing, and I think it's what Pentecost, which is what today is, I think it's what Pentecost tries and teaches us. I think it's what all of Scripture points to. God is not a God who is content to just sit back, snap some fingers, and things just happen. God can do that. Don't get me wrong. But I think it is a higher good and a more beautiful thing that God has said, you are all invited to help. You're all a part of this, and you're all invited to help. It's why God gave Adam and Eve choice. It's why God sent Christ into the world. It's why God gave us the Holy Spirit and empowers us to be a people who make change in the world and shine light and grace and hope and faith and love. See, as I look out into the world, knowing that I've got more than a few years ahead of me, and that I've got to figure out how to help create, alongside God, a society and an environment that my children can thrive in, that all people feel comfortable, or at least valued and seen and respected in. In the midst of this, the question, I think, for me and for many of us as well, is where do we find the hope in that? How do we know that God's end really is what will happen? I got to tell you, friends, God's kept every promise so far. God's got a pretty good track record. Not only that, I think the fact that the church still remains after 2,000 years is a pretty good testament to the staying power of the love of Christ. And sure, perhaps there is something noble about just being courageous enough to show up and do the right thing, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what might happen. If it's the right thing, it's the right thing. Amen? Amen. But perhaps, and I think we see this often, perhaps God alongside, or we alongside of God, are working to build a better world. That the work we do now is work that will last even unto the return of Christ. Perhaps that's a good and beautiful thing in and of itself. And my Greek's a little rusty, but I'm pretty sure of this. This world isn't going to get thrown into the garbage heap and a new one is made out of nothing. This world will be renewed. This world will be restored. And the work we do now is work that will last. So friends, may you find the courage in the everyday to show up and to do the right thing and to love and to be gracious and to trust not only God, but perhaps even each other. May we continue to be agents of light and grace, of love and kindness. And it hurts me to say, but may we let our God order and provide. May we let God create a path for us so that we can walk forward in confidence and in hope. Because, friends, I know just about 2,000 years ago, some flames came upon a couple apostles' heads. They came out speaking in languages that they didn't quite understand, and the good news of Jesus Christ spread and is still here and can be rekindled. Friends, may the Holy Spirit warm your heart strangely. May you know that there is hope. May you continue to walk along the path of God. And friends, may your trust, your faith, your hope, may it blossom into love so that all people may know that God is good, that they are welcome into the body of Christ, and that the grace of God goes ever onward until the fullness of the kingdom of God and the community of Christ. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to be your people. Thank you that you are making a way. Thank you that all things are in your hands. Even if it seems like chaos, even if it seems incredibly insurmountable, even if we don't quite know where you're going, God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for not abandoning us. Thank you for showing us the way that leads to that joyful end. God, fill our hearts with your holy fire, with love and grace, with kindness and compassion, with enough trust to give us the courage to show up, with enough grace to do what is right, even if it doesn't seem like it's going to do much good, and enough hope to know that it is doing good. God, be with us. Help us be with one another. And Lord, give us the courage and the energy to continue to do what you've called us to do, to restore the earth, to help redeem your people, to build a better world, so that when you come, you may say, well done, good and faithful. Let's carry on. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand with us as you are comfortable and sing with us our final hymn, For All the Saints. You can find it on your large blueback hymnal on page 711 or up on the screens. We'll sing verses 1 through 4. So friends, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God lift you up and give you hope. Friends, go with the courage of Christ. Go knowing that even in the midst of trial or trouble or tribulation, that God is with us, that God is making a way, and that we have been given the opportunity and the agency to work alongside making visible the kingdom of God and the community of Christ. Friends, may faith, hope, and love be born in your hearts. Go with God, and God will go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, go enjoy your long weekend. Today it's Sabbath, so please rest. For today, our service has ended.